I want to invite all the children and those who are young at heart to come a little closer to your screen for our children's time. Today is Ash Wednesday. We use ashes in our service today. They are what's left when something is burned. But these ashes have been cooled and they aren't hot anymore. They are a reminder for us. I've got some words written in ashes that I want to show you. Hopefully you can read this. Bullying, hitting, lying, and name calling. These are just a few of the ways that we hurt each other, right? It's not good to hit. It's not good to call other people names or lie or bully them. That causes harm and that hurts other people. So if they're not good to do, maybe we should try to get rid of them, right? So let's see if we can erase this. No, it's just, it's not going away, right? It just is making a big mess. Once we start doing these things, and I've got ash all over my hands, it's impossible to get them cleaned up. It's a big mess, right? And it leaves a mark on us. Only God can help us get out of our mess. And on this day, we wear ashes to admit that we are messed up sinners, that we make messes out of our relationships. But we make those, we take those same ashes that I made a mess with here, and we'll make them in the sign of a cross on our forehead, a symbol to remind ourselves that God loves us and works with us to help clean up our messes and to help us do better next time, no matter how we mess up. All right, friends, let's pray together. God of love, we make big messes sometimes. We rarely mean to, but it still happens. Please forgive us. Please help us to make things right with those we have hurt, and help us to do better next time. Please help us to remember that you will always love us, even when we make big messes. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words I'm about to speak honor and glorify you. May the thoughts and meditations of our hearts be inspired by you. May we all remain open to your word. Amen. This scripture passage from the Gospel of Matthew comes from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus had a huge crowd of people up on a mountain, and he was healing them and blessing them and taking care of them and also providing teaching and instruction for them. This text comes from the middle of that sermon. What we have before us today is our lessons on how to pray, how to give, how to fast. Jesus is telling the people to pray, assuming that they will, but to do all of these things in secret. And he suggests that these disciplines be done in private rather than before others. So why this text for Ash Wednesday? Well, we are entering a season of Lent, which is the 40 days before Easter, not counting Sundays, beginning today. It's a season of reflection, of refocusing, and often one where spiritual disciplines come to the forefront, especially these three: prayer, fasting, and giving. This year, our theme for Lent at West End is reset. Lent being a time to take stock of where we are as individuals and as a community, or as Pastor Nancy Parker says, a time of deep honesty with yourself. It's a time to reflect, to repent, to reset, a time to try again, to do better. I love the liturgical calendar, and I know that's a very preachery thing to say, but I do. I've loved it for years. I love the way that the ancient rhythms flow with the seasons. I love the way the cycle repeats again each year. I love the way the patterns call our attention to different aspects of life, birth and death, preparation, waiting, growth, joy, grief, mourning, celebration. It's all there in the flow of the liturgical seasons from Advent to Epiphany to Lent to Easter to Pentecost to Ordinary Time, and then starting all over again. This rhythm is an invitation. It's an invitation to pay attention, to observe, to learn, and to be transformed. If we let them, the seasons of the Christian year will push us and challenge us and inspire us. So what does Ash Wednesday call us to pay attention to? Well, it calls us to pay attention to our own mortality. And that's a hard thing to ask of us. I don't know about you, but this last year has done more to remind me of my own mortality than most. We have experienced ongoing grief and trauma. As of Monday, one count shows that 486,106 people have died in the U.S. of COVID, and more than 2.4 million people around the world have died from this disease. So many of us have lost loved ones to this pandemic. And many of us have lost loved ones for other reasons. And we haven't been able to gather to celebrate their lives and to hold friends and family close. Many hearts are broken. Plus, there is the grief that has come with the loss of jobs, the loss of income, the loss of milestones and rituals, the loss of connection with family and friends and colleagues, the loss of the everyday experiences we used to count on. And all of this is taking a toll on our mental health. Plus, we've been forced to confront many of the inequities of our society and forced to confront hard truths in ourselves. There are policies that grant privilege to certain groups and force others to bear the brunt of work to keep our country going. And there are ways that we have, as individuals and as groups, have been complacent and complicit in these systems. Plus, there is the harm that has been caused by white supremacy, violent insurrection. Plus, there's the stark reality of climate change that resulted in terrible seasons of wildfires and hurricanes. It's been one thing after another, and it's all piling up on us. We are coming up on 1 year of living like this and feeling like this. And the burden feels incredibly heavy, because it is. And we come to Ash Wednesday to remember that we are dust and that we are sinners and that we are human, beautiful and fragile. And if these reminders feel heavy to you, you are not alone. So what does this text from Matthew have to offer us in this moment? Well, there's the small bit of irony of reading a text on Ash Wednesday about avoiding showy displays of religion on the day we all put ashes on our foreheads. Verse 1 tells us to beware of practicing piety before others in order to be seen by them. Or in the Message version, be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. We are told to give alms in secret, to pray in secret, to fast in secret, to practice our faith without seeking the approval of others. In Matthew's community and culture, religious observance would have been common and even obligatory. People would have been performing the same rituals at the same time. It was part of who they were as a people. For me, being able to gather in person or even virtually with other people of faith for shared experiences of worship and prayer are so important. And that's likely true for many of us. And yet we live in a world where religious observance is becoming increasingly uncommon, optional, and diverse. Robert Brown Taylor writes, "In Matthew's world, keeping one's religious practice to oneself would have been countercultural. What kind of religious behavior might be equally countercultural in our time? Is the observance of Ash Wednesday, the claiming that we are dust and visibly marking ourselves with ashes in reminder of that truth, countercultural? There is so much in this world that calls us to put on a show, to have it all together, or at least look like we do. And it becomes difficult to tell what's real and what's for show. There's an intense amount of pressure to say the right things, to do the right things, to be perfect, especially online. But the truth is, we aren't perfect. There will be times when we fall short of other people's standards, of our own ideals, and especially of God's dream for love and justice in the world. We make messes of our relationships. We make mistakes. We sin against God and against one another. And yet our society seems to demand that we never show any signs of weakness. Our society would probably prefer our showy religious piety to real vulnerability and honest truth-telling. Brené Brown defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. She goes on to say, vulnerability sounds like truth and feels like courage. Truth and courage aren't always comfortable, but they're never weakness. The work of showing up in real and vulnerable ways is hard and it is risky. And yet this passage calls us to authenticity in everything we do, but especially in our religious piety, when we pray, when we fast, and when we give. Perhaps in our time, it is countercultural to pray out loud, to display our faith in Christ visibly that others might see, but only so long as we are clear on our why. If our public displays of religion only elevate ourselves, if they are self-congratulatory, then they are showy religion. If we're performing for the crowd and seeking praise from people, then we're not really pointing them towards God, and we're not seeking to be transformed by God. We're doing it for ourselves, and Jesus says that we will receive our reward for that. There are times when we need to pray out loud. There are times when we need to use our voices and our privilege to proclaim the love of God for everyone, for every race, class, gender, age, and orientation. If then our public displays share the love of Christ with the hurting, if they advocate for the oppressed, if they include the marginalized, if they bring justice and equity, then perhaps it's okay to ignore the call to pray in secret in order to obey the command to love our neighbor. But we also have to be careful of performative allyship here. We have to be willing not to just put on the show, but to do the hard work of allowing God to transform us and to dig in to help transform the world. Are we playing to the crowd and patting ourselves on our backs for our own good deeds? Or are we honoring God and honoring the image of God in the people around us? We are a society in desperate need of accountability. We are in desperate need of confession and repentance. We are in desperate need of reparation and amends. We are in desperate need of healing. We need to be called out. We need to unlearn, to learn and relearn. We need transformation. And Ash Wednesday calls us to that, all of that. Today, we confront our mortality and we enter into a season of reflection and repentance. Lent gives us a chance to reset, gives us the grace to try again. It's also a season of getting ready for what's next. We are living in a time of tension. Katie Minnis, our pastoral fellow here at West End, describes it as a grief-hope sandwich. We are still very much in the middle of our grief. We are continuing to experience loss after loss. We are constantly having to change plans, and we have no idea what the next days or weeks or months will bring. And we are so tired of all of it. And yet we still have hope. We're seeing signs of it everywhere. Despite currently being covered in snow and ice, my daffodils are starting to come up in my yard, a sure sign that spring is coming. People are beginning to receive the COVID vaccine, and it may take some time, but it's coming. Kids in Nashville are going back to school, again, winter storm notwithstanding, and that is hopeful for many parents. People are advocating for policies that move us toward justice and equity for all, and the voices calling for these are growing in strength and numbers. There are glimpses of hope everywhere if we pay attention. We are beginning Lent, and yet Easter is coming. During this time, when we are living daily with the realities of both grief and hope, what can we learn about ourselves? How can we grow? What truth will God reveal to us? What ways will we and our society be transformed? Normally, Ash Wednesday is something of a somber, downward feeling as we tell the truth about our own brokenness. And that is important and good and right to do. But I could use a word of hope to go with it this year. So even as we turn to the ashes and to the invitation to a Lenten fast, I want to leave you with words from Amanda Gorman's poem, recited so powerfully and elegantly at the inauguration last month. She is 23 and already a poet and a prophet and a pastor in all the best ways. And she says, "Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried." May these words be true of all of us in this season of resetting, this season of transformation. Amen.